Welcome to the week two NFL episode of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. Brand new, a lot of fun, and a lot to talk about based on week one results and some other things that may impact your Survivor choice or choices going forward. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm. Guys, are you paying permanent alimony in the state of Florida? How would you like to not pay permanent alimony anymore? As of July 1st, 2023, Governor Ron DeSantis signed into law the elimination of permanent alimony. To find out more, reach out to Brandon Legal Group for a free consultation to stop paying permanent alimony. They are a full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Full service can mean the elimination of permanent alimony, as well as family law, divorce, child support adjustment, and more. 813-902-3576 or visit BrandonLegalGroup.com. Stop paying permanent alimony. Call Brandon Legal Group to find out more. My email is write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. Thanks to everyone who supported the series and season premiere last week of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast. So here we go, Survivors, ready, go. Our podcast, significantly shorter than actual episodes of Survivor, hosted by the man, Jeff Probst, this season, as CBS stretches Survivor out to 90-minute episodes this year to fill primetime windows that they cannot fill with scripted programs because of the writer's strike. We're going to try to keep this more to around 15, 20-ish minutes. So let's go. Okay, so let's review week one, listening to Gil Alexander on VSiN, who's going to offer me an opinion in many episodes. I'm recording this episode very early this week. I'm still trying to find sort of a sweet spot for when I want to do this. This will be about as early as I do it, and there's sort of logistical behind-the-scenes reasons why I'm doing this. So if you're hearing this and saying, well, how come they're not talking about, here's the timestamp, 12 noon on Tuesday, September 12th. So anything that happens after 12 noon on Tuesday, September 12th is not included in our conversation as we look ahead to week two Survivor selections. All right, so we're going based on the news from the Monday night game, sort of the odd combination. Aaron Rodgers leaves the game after throwing one incomplete pass, and yet the Jets still win in overtime against the Bills. How it impacted the betting lines, the futures market, all that. I got all that, at least through noon Eastern time on Tuesday. But let's face it, Buffalo and the Jets was not a big Survivor play. Most people had their Survivor play either on Thursday or on Sunday. Kind of stunned at the number. It's small, but still, that people were still in on Kansas City after they knew Travis Kelce wasn't playing. Yeah, I wouldn't have picked the Lions outright either, but I wouldn't have used Kansas City in week one against a live dog with the money trending in their direction without a pass catcher who means as much to his quarterback as just about anybody in the National Football League. I was having this conversation with a friend of mine, an astute fantasy player, two-time champion, as we watched the game last night at walk-ons in Tampa, that can you name a pass catcher who means more to the fortunes of a quarterback right now in the NFL than Kelce to Mahomes? I don't think Jefferson does to Cousins. Chase does to Burrow, Tyreek to Tua, and on down the line. So at that point, I think you need to get off the Chiefs and reset, because it's a Thursday night game. You've got time to reset before you get that pick in for for a Sunday game. But some went down with the Chiefs. The majority and the Circa Survivor contest gets a ton of attention, and rightfully so. So based on what Gil Alexander on VSiN said about that, the Circa Survivor numbers in Las Vegas and my own Survivor pool that I'm playing in with multiple hundreds of people, looks like roughly 20% of people were out in week one. The majority of that was because of A, Minnesota losing to Tampa Bay, and B, Seattle losing to the Rams. That was the majority of the 20%. Not limited to, but that was the majority of the 20%. And those were two of the four games we highlighted as the most common for people looking at Survivor options. We did not put Kansas City in the top four last week. We talked about the top four most common and why. And two were winners in Baltimore and Washington, and two were losers in Minnesota and Seattle. So 80% of people seem to have survived week one and move on to week two. So now let's talk about week two as best we can, and everybody's survivor board is different because if you survived, now there's someone you can't use. So let's move on. And I've highlighted six, and this is based on Vegas insider numbers via Patrick Everson, a sports betting expert, and looking at the updated number as of 12 noon Eastern time. The Cowboy number, oh, Patrick did update it. Patrick, you're awesome. And thank you for the kind words and the retweet about our first episode of the Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast on your Twitter. Patrick has everything updated for me as of 12 noon Eastern time. Okay, so I can just use this one page. Great. So here are the six games where the odds makers see the biggest favorite. And interestingly, one is a road team, which generally I want to stay away from. So maybe we'll do that last. So let's start with the Thursday night game, with Minnesota being the team that cost most people who were eliminated in week one with their 3-point home loss to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Vikings have grown to a 7-point underdog on Thursday night football against the Philadelphia Eagles. This is Kirk Cousins also in prime time. Here's what I think is interesting. Didn't we have this exact same game last year in week two? Because I remember as a Justin Jefferson fantasy owner, him doing nothing, that Darius Slay just locked him down. And it was one of two really bad games for Jefferson, the other being a week 17 game in my fantasy championship. Other than that, phenomenal, good to great every other week. So here we go. Vikings coming off a bad performance in their home opener. They go on the road against the defending NFC champions, who built a big lead early and then held on against New England in week one. Didn't seem like the Eagles incurred any significant injuries. And the Eagles are a touchdown favorite against the Vikings. And again, Kirk Cousins just doesn't seem to win primetime games. He's very bad on that stage. So that puts Philadelphia front and center as one of your potential choices this week. Let's move on to the Sunday games. The Lions, off their Thursday win against the Chiefs, are a 5.5-point choice. Again, quoting Patrick Everson from Vegas Insider, against the Seahawks. A few things going on here. First of all, Lions pick up where they leave off at the end of last season. No significant injuries off week two. I think many of us impressed. Granted, the Lions had three touchdowns in that win against Kansas City, and one was a pick six, a ball that was right in Kadarius Toney's hands. But the Lions clearly have a roster with fast, talented players. We expect to see more of Jahmyr Gibbs in week two, although David Montgomery continues to just play very hard. It's not that he did anything wrong. Amon-Ra St. Brown got in the end zone. Jared Goff not throwing interceptions. And Detroit comes home in front of what should be an excited crowd to see them. And then things went really bad for the Seahawks last week. So for all the reasons we just talked about, the Vikings going on the road after a poor week one loss, the Seahawks cost many of those 20% in week one with their performance against the Rams, only getting a DK Metcalf touchdown. And here they go. Pete Carroll generally travels east very well, better than most, thank you, Gary Koch, of the Western teams and coaches. Carroll seems to set an environment where traveling east doesn't impact the Seahawks as much as it does other Western teams playing east. And granted, it is the Eastern time zone, but just ask the Red Wings and how long they fought to get out of playing in the Western Conference and the National Hockey League about the travel and how they preferred to play in the east. So split the geographical difference. So Lions, 5.5-point choice as of noon Eastern on Tuesday against the Seahawks would be front and center. Then we get to the Bills. And I told you in my first episode, in early August, I cross-referenced bad teams with low expected win totals, according to BetMGM, with significant point spreads against those bad teams in road games only the rest of the season to spit out plays for the rest of the year. And the only one that stood out was a week two game with Las Vegas traveling to Buffalo. Now, that number has come down a bit. In early August, that number was close to 10. As we speak, based on the Raiders' win in week one and the Bills' horrible performance, particularly Josh Allen, and he owned it, in the loss to Zach Wilson and the Jets on Monday night, it's down to 8.5. But Buffalo is still in play here and will still be one of the most talked about survivor plays this week. I don't like picking teams playing on Sunday after a Monday night. Not just week one at all. You're losing a day. You can call it loss of rest. You can call it loss of prep. Call it whatever you want. But for years, I've often said, play on Monday, lose on Sunday. So while my sort of season-long chart, where I would have taken Baltimore last week and won with that, and that was a majority play for everyone in the actual leagues anyway, the only one that stood out in early August with a cross-section that I did of low win total expectation, high point spread as a road underdog was Buffalo against Las Vegas. I'm obviously looking at that again. I don't think the Bills are done. I mean, look, there are a number of teams that didn't win week one that are going to win week two and win a significant share of games. There'll be a handful of teams that didn't win week one that make the playoffs, the win divisions. It's one game of a 17-game season. But this is not an automatic for me to just go with the Bills against the Raiders based on what just happened in the last 72 hours and them coming off a Monday night game and how I don't generally want to do that. I want to do that about as much as I want to pick a team on the road. So let's get to, I got one more home team to offer you, and that's the Dallas Cowboys, which because of the Aaron Rodgers injury has gone from roughly a field goal favorite? And that was before whatever Aaron Rodgers was going to do. And it has rocketed up to nearly a double-digit favorite as of 12 noon on Tuesday. I see Dallas as a 9.5-point choice against the Jets. So the Jets still won. Zach Wilson is still Zach Wilson. It wasn't like Zach Wilson gets all the credit for the win. He gets some. He made some throws. He did not make as many. He did not give the ball up as much as Josh Allen. In the end, the Jets defense, Breece Hall, especially in the first half, what was he, two carries for 102 or 104 yards? The Garrett Wilson touchdown catch, one of the best you'll see all year. Not only preventing an interception, but catching the ball in that situation, and then the punt return for a touchdown. Perfect storm, one game thing? Yeah, maybe. As impressive as Dallas was in the same building on Sunday night beating the Giants, now how does their offense handle the Jets' defense in the home opener with as a huge favorite? Could there be a little bit of a letdown for the Cowboys? Could they be reading their own press clippings? Could they be taking the Jets lightly now that they don't have to face their nemesis in Aaron Rodgers? All these things are in play as well as the Cowboys, as we speak, are the biggest point spread favorite in week two. Two road favorites of significance over a touchdown. I'm sorry, of six or more. As we speak, the Giants off a historically bad Sunday night performance against the Cowboys. The Giants go to Arizona, a bad team that had a chance on the road at Washington, made those that picked Washington sweat. The Cardinals come home to play the Giants. Giants are a 6-point road favorite off that horrible performance on Sunday night. And then the Niners, with a dominant road performance cross-country against the Steelers, they are currently, as of noon Tuesday Eastern time, an 8-point favorite down the road at the Rams, which won't be much of a road game for the Niners. They'll have a lot of fans there. It's a little trip down the coast. Granted, it's not the comfort just from home and your own, you know, and your own training room and your own locker. But still road game. Niners, one the Niners play every year. Niners 8-point choice at the Rams. So there is sort of the six that you have in play that I think will be the most common. I don't know. Maybe something will bubble up later as the week goes on that is, you know, closer to a field goal or less favorite for whatever reason. But as we speak on Tuesday noon, those are your top six. And maybe some people took the Eagles week one at home against the Patriots. I didn't see a lot of it where you can't take Philadelphia. I don't think people were taking Dallas in Survivor week one. If they took Buffalo, they're out. I don't think many were taking Detroit week one at Kansas City. The Giants, if you took them, you're out. I don't think you were taking the Niners cross country at Pittsburgh, just because Mike Tomlin, you know, wins more than 50% of his regular season games. So I think the board is pretty clear. Based on these six and where you want to go. And I'll just look out a little bit more. And let's say, based on some of those projections I did a month before the season, with low win total combined with big home favorite on the early lines before the season began. Buffalo stood out for a week 8 game as a possible play. Dallas stood out as a week 8 or week 13 play, and week 12. Philadelphia, when I made my picks all at once for the entire season, where I took Baltimore week 1, Buffalo week 2, I had Philly as the choice in week 4 because only they and the Niners stood out in week 4, because in week 4, Philly, I believe, hosts Washington. Yeah. Who's San Francisco have that week in week 4? Is that when they host Arizona? Yeah. So those two stood out there. So again, if you're going with Philly or the Niners this week, then you're not going to be able to use them in week 4, where they're both going to be anywhere from a touchdown to a double-digit favorite based on all available evidence right now. Let's see. Detroit was my week 5 choice if I made my picks before the season, and that's because they host Carolina in week 5. And let's see. The Niners were going to be my play in week 11. I think that's when they host the Buccaneers. And the Bucs are horrible in Santa Clara. And one more. The Giants. Who are, not only are they better than they showed on Sunday night, I mean, you can't have a game that bad again. You just can't. Giants were in the mix potentially for week 9 and week 17. So there's your six. If I was going with my projections with picks made each week before the season began, it would be Buffalo. But I have reason to look elsewhere based on the Raider win in week 1, the movement in the line, very modest at this point, Buffalo losing to a Zach Wilson-led Jets team, Josh Allen playing so poorly, and coming off a Monday night game. So I would expect that of these 6 games, the top 3 or 4 plays will come from these 6 for week 2. Buffalo, Dallas, Philadelphia, Detroit, all home teams, and the potential for one of these 2 road teams to get in the mix as a popular survivor play, the Giants or the Niners. Send me your thoughts at write.todd@yahoo.com, write.todd@yahoo.com. The Todd Wright Survivor Football Podcast is presented by Brandon Legal Group, your full-service law firm servicing the greater Tampa Bay area. Good luck. We'll talk to you next time.